The Netflix reboot of the makeover show Queer Eye starts its second season tomorrow. It was born on Bravo in 2003 as Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, making a stereotype about gay men into a badge of honor, casting the Fab Five, five gay men, to give their pitiful straight counterparts more fashionable lives. The Netflix reboot is also a hit. It stars culture expert Karamo Brown, interior designer Bobby Burke, chef Anthony Porowski, grooming wizard Jonathan Van Ness, and fashion guru Tan France, who joins us now. Now, he's the immigrant son of Pakistani parents. He grew up in Britain, a Muslim. He settled in Salt Lake City, Utah, with his Mormon husband, Rob. And Tan joins us now from KUER in Salt Lake. Tan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You had an incredible first season of Queer Eye. Were you nervous at all? You stepped into the shoes of Carson Kressley, who, of course, you know, was on the first version of the program, a big star. Nervous?
I was. But I think we're very, very different people and our mission is very different. We're trying to find the best versions of the heroes that we help. That's what we call the people that we help, heroes. I don't just want them to look externally fantastic. I want them to be the best version of themselves that they can be.
Well, it comes at a time of incredible divisiveness. Many in the gay community are worried that some of their hard-fought gains might be lost. And so in a way, in this show, you're also ambassadors.
Yes, I believe we are. And we never set out for this to be a political show, for us to be a political statement. But just by nature of who we are five very diverse gay men, and our opinions are very strong. And we don't hesitate voicing those opinions. I think that it has become quite a political show.
Well, it's also, on occasion, the first encounter.
Yes.
You've met people who have never met a gay person before.
Yeah. In our first episode of season one, Tom Jackson, he had never met gay men as far as he was aware. He'd never spoken to a gay person before.
You like a lot of plaid, and I love plaid, but there's different ways of doing it.
I didn't buy most of those.
Who buys your product?
My ex-wife bought most of these.
Okay.
My first ex-wife, or my second ex-wife.
Tom's closet is surprising. He likes color, which is bizarre from a man who doesn't seem to care about his appearance. So you know he's got a playful side. The closet actually gives me hope. He doesn't need to be a boring 57-year-old man.
And was this also the same gentleman who had never met a Muslim?
Yeah, he. This wasn't actually featured on the show. This was something that he had said during a filmed scene, but it never made it to air. He asked if I was a terrorist. He thought I was Mexican up until the second day. And then, yeah, I corrected him and said, no, I'm actually not Mexican, I'm Middle Eastern. And his first question, and he wasn't joking, it wasn't meant to be funny. He just asked if I was a terrorist. And the sad thing was that he didn't know that it was inappropriate to ask. And I feel no resentment towards him. And I felt none at the time because I knew it was an honest question for him.
And later what? He gave you a rose?
He did. On the last day, a yellow rose for friendship. And he was really emotional when he gave it. He said, I don't want to do this on camera. I want this to just be a personal thing for us. I want you to know that I'd never met a person like you before, but you've become a true friend for me, and I hope you know that. So that felt really special, really special.
So this is about much more than what kind of hair gel.
Absolutely,
to wear.
Yeah, so with my vertical being fashion, I use that as a vehicle for a much deeper conversation. I'm in a really privileged position on the show. I get to see these guys in their most vulnerable state. I get to see them in their underwear. And when I'm in that position where I get to see them undressed and I'm asking of them about how they feel about their bodies, it then opens up further conversation about how they view themselves in general, how their families view them. I'm able to talk about so much more than just, hey, let me make you pretty. Yeah.
I do just want to ask, though, you talk about how you're five diverse guys.
Yes.
And, you know, there's been criticism that it actually isn't in some ways a diverse group of gay men. I mean, there was upset for the first show and there is a little bit for the second.
Yes.
That it is playing into the stereotype that, you know, homosexual men are more fashionable. Tom Shales in The Washington Post said stereotypes on parade. Do you worry about that? Maybe you could have put an auto mechanic. could have worked on the cars or something.
We cannot represent every person within our community. However, we have me on the show. I'm Middle Eastern. I'm an immigrant. I'm of a certain religion. That's never been featured on a gay show before. Right. We have a black man on the show, Karamo, who has children. We talk very openly about our marriages. I'm married to a man from Utah. So I think that this show and what we represent is more diverse than any other gay show that has been. Could it be more diverse? Of course, it always can be. But we can't represent everyone within our community. But we do try and do that with the people that we help. It is no longer called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. It's now just called Queer Eye. And we do have a gay hero on our show, episode 4. His name is AJ. And we show, and we don't hide away from this fact, that not all gay men know about the physical stuff, grooming, fashion, interior design. He struggles with all of that, and we help him.
Look, you mentioned the diversity in the heroes that you help, including one of the highlights of season 2. For the first time, a makeover for a transgender person. We meet Skylar in Athens, Georgia, born a woman, had top surgery. Identifies as a man, and a huge struggle to come to that place, left his family, is kind of living with a new family of young people that he's formed in a really frat-looking apartment.
Yes.
Really problematic. Wearing, you know, as I think you said, skateboarder. It's like a skateboarder at the age 30. To talk a little bit about what those unique issues are that Skylar told you about and you didn't know about.
A stereotype is that all gay men know everything there is to know about the LGBTQ community. We don't, and I air that on the show. Mm-hmm. I talk about the fact that we're lumped into the same group, but I know very little about the trans community.
Well, in fact, you wondered, why would you ever want to change your body? It's so painful. It costs so much money. And you have an incredibly powerful moment with Skylar.
So, like, God, I spent almost like a decade of my life being miserable in my body, just miserable. And the way that it affected me and the way that I interacted with people, like, I haven't even felt, like, comfortable giving hugs in, like, a decade because I, like, feel people touch my chest and it just makes me so uncomfortable.
I feel f***ing stupid, quite honestly.
You're not. No, I appreciate you trying to educate yourself. It means a lot to me.
No, I feel stupid. I always looked at trans people and I've thought, oh, why don't you just, like, it costs so much and it could be really painful. Why are you putting yourself through that? Like, it just seems such a traumatic experience.
It's a lot.
Think, I truly didn't understand.
This was eye-opening to you.
Yeah, I knew that the trans community was going through a world of despair and not having the representation they deserved, but I never thought to ask the questions. And again, it's because I didn't feel that it was appropriate. But now I look back and I think I really should have taken the time to understand their plight more.
In another scene in season 2, you work with a woman named Tammy in Gay, Georgia.
Yeah.
And this episode, you're helping her welcome her son back to her church's homecoming. He's been away. He is gay. He's worried about being accepted. And you and Anthony, the chef, talked to Tammy about how she felt when her son came out to her.
One of the things for me, you know, that I struggle with when Miles came out to me that he was gay, I think it felt like almost a broken dream of him having a child.
I totally get that.
Do you mean that for Miles or for you?
For me, you know, that dream of him having, you know, a natural child that's his, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Miles can still have kids. I'm working on my kids next year, and they're going to be my children.
Yes,
we're going to have a surrogate, but they're going to be my babies. Just because he's gay doesn't mean he won't have his own children.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, Tan, so we hear about your personal life as well.
Yes.
And there you are in Salt Lake with a Mormon husband. You've talked about how, in fact, interestingly, you being Muslim, him being Mormon, you have a lot in common, not drinking, not smoking. Mm-hmm. But we understand people walk up to you. Salt Lake is a progressive area within a very conservative state. But still, it's interesting that people walk up to you and talk about the effect on their lives of the show.
Yes. I had a 52-year-old man come up to me at a store. He was staring for a couple of minutes and said, I just wanted to tell you that you've changed my life. He said, I watched the episode where AJ comes out and it empowered me to go and see my mom, and I came out to her. He said, I've been married for over 30 years. I've got children and I've lied for decades now, and I didn't want to lie anymore, and I just wanted to feel the happiness that I see you guys feel on the show. And so, yeah, it felt really emotional and massively impactful. It's not just a coastal show. The fact that people are watching in places like Utah and are hugely affected by this is it feels so special. It's really not just for liberal Americans. This is global.
Well, and yet, we just reported recently on four young men chased from a gay pride festival there in Salt Lake by an angry mob yelling slurs. Another young gay man held the mob off. It was pretty chilling.
Yeah, it saddens me deeply that this continues to happen. But it's a reminder that visibility is the only way that we're going to hopefully quash this in the end, that we are accepted into society as the norm.
The Fab Five.
The Fab Five.
It's like superheroes. That's Tan France, one of the Fab Five on the Netflix show Queer Eye. The second season of the show is out tomorrow. Tan, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Robin.